John Duddle, Reel 3. You were just telling me about this bang you heard.
Yeah. I was down below, and all was the bang. You couldn't call it a bang. It was more something hit. And this was a big ship that I was on. It was called the Monarch of Bermuda. It looked like a ship in peacetime. And it was going over, and then it came back. And then it was going over again, and I thought, God, we've gone. Sure enough. But we straightened up, and I got out on deck, along with lots more who were down below at the time. And there was this whacking great troop ship bouncing up, but it bounced off them. Apparently the steering had gone on it. That was called the Duchess of Bedford. And all the lifeboats on one side were all damaged, right there. The bells of this thing had bounced along us. And for all the people who were on board our ship, I don't think anybody, it was a miracle, no one was hurt. Probably a few shaken up, because they were probably out on deck when it happened. They knew they were going to be hit with this other ship. The rest of the convoy just carried on sailing. And we were stuck there wallowing in the water. A switching target, as you might say. And there was one destroyer, and it must have been about half an hour. One destroyer stayed with us. It must have been about half an hour or more. We had made our minds up what to do when we went back to Gibraltar. But it was only 12, 13, 14 hours after we'd gone through the straits. And by then, I think we must have been told that we were coming home. And okay, we got into Gibraltar, and there was damage underwater as well as up top. And there was a chart put on one of the probably called the person now, I don't know how to look to the but there was a chart up there telling us how the divers were doing. The divers have gone down, hey! And then the divers have come up again. Nothing doing, you know, and this went on for days. And it got that way to probably about 10 days, probably around about the 10th of December. And we were all issued with Christmas cards to send home, knowing that we wouldn't be home by Christmas, or didn't expect to be. And so we just made Merry Christmas then. You couldn't write anything on it, obviously, it was more time. And away they went. But on the, say about the 11th or the 12th of December, the repair, temporary repair had been done to make it watertight, the ship. And we sailed out of Gib and out of the Atlantic on our own, when I sailed our own as far as transport went, with three destroyers coming back with us. And from England through Gibraltar, I would say it's about a 2-day trip. But it took us from there, the 10th or the 11th, I think, from that. 10 days. We went right out of the Atlantic to the Atlantic. This is trying to avoid the submarine, the U-boat lanes. We had three destroyers with us. And it was fairly rough. You could see the destroyers. Somebody once said that destroyers cut through the water, rough seas. But not necessarily, they just still got tossed about and up and down. They were worse off than us because they were only small ships. Anyway, we got. We were all as happy as larks, and you know, we were coming home. And we got into Liverpool Bay, on the 23rd of December, and we couldn't get up the river because the tide, something to do with the tides. And 23rd of December. By the time he got it off, it was late at night, and it was a big transit camp down at Liverpool, and we were all bummed into that. And this is where the bad luck and good luck comes in. They had us, we didn't go to bed in this camp. We were that busy filling out ration boots and all the paraphernalia that we needed ashore. And so it was the 24th of December, Christmas Eve morning. We're all parcelled off, and I'm only 30 miles from Manchester, so that was it. And I arrived home at lunchtime, which was great, because as far as my family knew, and all the other families, we weren't going to be home. And I just knocked at the door, and here we are again. And now here, when I say good news and bad news, that was originally that was bad news, not being home. But it was 14 days disembarkation leave. Everybody got that. And so that meant that I was home for Christmas. And with the hold up, I was also home for the New Year. Now, the blokes who weren't in the accident out in the Atlantic, they probably got into Liverpool or Southampton or wherever, 3 or 4 days' time. So all I got was Christmas leave. Didn't get the New Year's leave. And two of my mates at home, they'd been in that convoy. And I was the lucky one because I got New Year at home as well. They only got Christmas and they had to be back. So that was the good news. From there on, it was a case of moving around. I finished my leave, and my order was, you make your own way, you've got travel, railway travel. Down to South, Lay-on-Sea, near Southend. And we billeted in private houses. It was at the time when the build-up was starting for the Normandy business. All over, not just all over the south of England, but everywhere. And a couple of weeks there, and then.
Were you in the new unit by now?
No, I'm just going to say that. Now then, originally, I was, when I said 16th Bridging Platoon, it was the 239 Field Park Company in Sicily.
You mean you made a mistake? Did you make a mistake before?
Yeah, when I said 16th Bridging Platoon, there. I only joined the Bridging Platoon after Sicily.
So in Sicily, you weren't in the Bridging Platoon, you were in 239
Field Park Company. Same division, but with a unit. But then, came away from Lay-on-Sea, probably towards the end of January, and went up to I don't know if it was Ely or where it was. Another place that's well known up there. And that's where I joined the Bridging Platoon.
Number 16? 16 Bridging Platoon.
Bridging Platoon, yeah. And from there on, we moved here and there and Honiton. No, it wasn't Honiton. That was when I first joined up.
You mean somewhere near, this is somewhere near Cambridge?
Yeah, that area. But I do remember Ely. there, and it would move from here to there, and so on and so on. Just coming all the things in the right place at the right time, I suppose it was. How it came off, I don't know. Miracle. The invasion, I mean. We finished up in Epping Forest, North London. What is North London?
East London, yeah.
Yeah. And we're allowed a little bit, again, attempted camp, barbed wire all around the place. This was not just us, this was thousands again. All artillery and tanks and you name everything. And this happened all across the south of England. All the Americans were at this end. And then all at once, end of May, the gate was shut, no more going out. There was guards on the gates inside the barbed wire. Nobody was allowed anywhere. And that was 7 days before the invasion.
Was this bridging platoon part of the 51st Highland Division?
Yeah. I joined them. That's where I joined them. That was at Ely. We'll say Ely. I can't think of the name of the other place. Yeah, that's where I joined the bridging platoon. It's all to do with engineering, bridging. And, all so-called leave was stopped. You weren't allowed outside the camp. It had been the last day before we went down to the docks on the Thames. And, there were tank landing craft and salt landing craft and all kinds of things down there. And we went on board on the 3rd of June. But I've got all that in writing somewhere. We went on board on the 3rd of June. And that was it for them. You don't go anywhere from there, that's it. Step full stop. And we sailed down the Thames. Now, I know it might sound silly, but I can't say whether we landed in Normandy on D-Day or D-1. They remember that. Yeah. What I can't see were people on the Kent bank of the Thames waving to us. Now the invasion had already started, obviously, but they were out there waving to us. Because we didn't get any belly from like the Americans always got, you know, it's on your bike jack and away you go, sort of thing. And they were all waving to us going down the Thames. Because it was 24 hours working all the time, and it wasn't just 8 hour days. They were probably the night shift, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And we got out into the channel, and again, this must have been round about lunchtime, that was a whacking great water spout. And it was Jerry shelling us from Cali area, Dover area. Because they, as we all know, they couldn't even see Dover and Folkestone on good days. And obviously I was a black and white water spout and a big bang. And one of the ships, he must have only been 300 yards away from us, and he got a direct hit. And you could see the lad jumping over the side, because there were big guns over there firing. We were lucky and carried on. When it was too late, the escort with the smoke screen up when the damage was being done, you know. So that was no problem anyway. And then it was I know it was on tea time. Brilliant day right at that time of the year. And we were going through all the outer perimeter sort of thing where the battleships were banging away, probably from 15 miles out at sea. And then we were going through shipping all the time, and then we stopped. And it was scrambling next to the side of the ship down into landing craft on the water. And away you go, up to the beaches and just get mobile. And you're strolling from there on, it's to this place and that place, and slowly broke out. We were on the beachhead, you might call it, for 8 weeks. I think it was the beginning of August when the real big breakout came.
But when you landed on the beaches, were you actually under German fire?
We were under shell fire all the time, yeah. Yeah.
Which beach did you land on?
That, again, it could have been Gold Beach,
Sword?
Yeah, Sword Beach. Another name. And the Americans had a bad time. Worse than us. They were slaughtered, the Americans. Further down, well, not further, about 5 miles away.
Were there any casualties in your unit in the course of your landing?
No.
And once you landed, did you then start building?
Got killed after we landed, 2 or 3 days after. With a shell. Shrapnel. Yeah. He was a Londoner. Yeah.
Did you see him killed?
No.
So once you landed, were you then building Bailey bridges?
Probably on about the second or third day, we had to build a bridge at a place called Wiestrahan. It's the entrance to Royal Takam now. We were in there last year. And it was you know, it was a river on or the Khan Canal. I had to put a bridge across. The jetty had blown the original one up. And even there he could see what we were doing, even though it was a few miles away. And being shelled all the time when that was happening.
What was your job in building the Bailey Bridge?
Well, it varied. You could either be on the panels, what you call the panels, the sides. I think there were only about 12 of us to build a bridge. Our bridge for 80 feet of stuff, of materials. But that most of the bridge after that was done by field company engineers. They were still well engineered and supplied by the RSC, the service corps. We're talking about bridges now going across Fairside rivers, like the Seine at Rouen, quite wide. They had been blown, I think, one bridge. We were on that. But we didn't have to do with putting it together. It was one of the field companies that did. Not exactly army troops. One of the field companies, anyway, they did the building. We were only backup. And then the breakout came.
What's the main problem in building a bridge like that in Normandy?
Well,
was it difficult to do?
Well, with regards to being fired on or building.
In any way, but in both ways.
Well, with a bridge of that type, a Bailey Bridge, you had to have as much on dry land as you had over the water. Otherwise, after a certain length of time, it's going to go, not balanced. There had to be a little bit more on the bank than there was over the water. No, all you did was build up, and then build back again. So you had more weight at the back on the land until you got to the other side. But the banks on both sides obviously had to be strengthened first. Otherwise, you have a tank going all over it, all at once down they would go. So,
how do you strengthen the bank?
Well, it was all done with timbers and it was crawled. The abutments, was it? I think that's what it was called.
What did you think of Bailey Bridges?
Well, it was a marvellous thing, really. The speed that they were built. There was one place, and we called it the Midas Bridge. And we took two to gold. And it was only our little 80 foot, and we built it in 40 minutes. it was a narrow running river, and that's how quick we built that one. Yeah.
What do you mean everything turned to gold?
Midas.
You mean everything went very well?
Everything went very well, yeah. But then the breakout came in the beginning of August. And we just went back through Belgium as quick as that.
Were you having much to do with French civilians?
Not a lot, really. Just a waving and so on. I don't think... I will say that the farmers, let's say, so the people lived in the rural areas, didn't have as tough a time, civilians I'm talking about, didn't have as tough a time as the townspeople. Because they living on a farm, you feed yourselves and you're well fed, aren't you, on the main ingredients.
Did they welcome you, or were they hostile?
I was going to say, again, getting back to day one or day two, you know, we had, for the first few days, it was haversack rations. Some amazing things that came out at the beginning. An octal cube, the size of an octal cube, made a Dixie full of soup, and it was real good stuff. And there was bacon in tins, rolls and rolls of bacon with greaseproof bacon between each layer. Oh, all kinds of things came out during the war. You wonder why these things aren't being used now in these African countries where they're all starving. But it was good stuff what we had, even though we always complained, everybody complains, about spam it was. But it was nutritious. Same as the civilians in England, in Britain. They didn't get much, but what they did get was the real stuff.
So you were telling me about the push through France.
Yeah, we broke out. The Americans broke out first, they were in Paris, before we got beyond Le Havre and that way on. another little incident. There's lots of little incidents, some are bad and some are good. Just getting back to Rehav, we sat and watched a tank battle. So you were sat in the cinema. Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. And there they were banging hell out of each other. Just outside Rehav, this one. Rehav had been cut off. We were moving that fast. The Germans were still in Rehav, but they had nowhere to go. So in the end, they just had to pack up. But this particular incident with the tank battle, it was. Well, it was just like looking at that screen there.
Can you describe what happened in this battle?
Well, it was quite a few of them knocked out and on fire. You could even say that there must have only been half a mile away. And you could see them jumping out of the tank, which had been hit and on fire. But that was the thing about it. You could be in real trouble and terrified. Or somebody could be, and you're 200 or 300 yards down the road, and nothing's happening.
Who was winning this tank battle?
That I couldn't say. Probably us, because by then we were on the move. And we swept right through Belgium. When I say we, I mean our little unit. There were lots of there was fighting going on all over the place. Things moved that fast. Each division had its own supplies, and probably each battalion had its own supplies. It's always been said that every infantryman is another 10 behind backing him up. With supplies, etc. And we went through Belgium that fast. All the division's supplies. There was lots of spirits, officers, stuff, cigarettes, food, and we were quiet, we were doing nothing. And so our Bailey Bridge was taken off the wagons. We had 11 or 12 wagons with the Bailey. Panel, what we call panel wagons, and then loads and loads of timbers for the base. Okay. And we got the job of moving all our provisions up because they were running out of time as far as food went up the road. You know, as I said, a country building. And that's how it was. These little incidents like that.
You said you had.
We made it when we got a little bit out of it.
You said you had panels in making a Bailey Bridge. How were the panels fitted together? With bolts?
No, they're called panel pins. They're about that long, and about that circumference. And you put. Alright, I just said, I'm going to say. You put two panels together and they slot in, and then the panel pin goes through a hole and through the hole and out the other side, and it's held them together.